But actually, what we're going to do right now is we're going to think about a Bible passage that is actually not so much to do with the historical account of what happened, but what we're going to do is read a passage which is more about what does all of this mean? Why does any of this matter? Why would we still be celebrating 2,000 years later the birth of a child come into this world? And so that's what the passage we're looking at this morning is going to be about. It's an explanation of the meaning of these things. And so let's go there. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through to 4. If you're using a paper Bible, this is toward the end of your Bibles, or you can actually open it up in the handout that you received on the way in, and it'll be on the screen as well. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. John was one of the disciples of Jesus. He was with him constantly. And in one of his letters, he writes this. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." And so here's John's explanation of what all this means. And so why don't we pray as we look at that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, yeah, what a startling thing that we are celebrating, still celebrating, a child born 2,000 years ago. Do help us to understand the meaning of this and the good news of this moment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if any of you have heard the story of the woman who met the actor Colin Firth. Colin Firth, it's one of those nice stories of celebrities that we admire. Colin Firth is the guy that played Darcy. Many of you would recognise that straight away in Pride and Prejudice. He was well known in that role. And this woman sees him in a cafe. She makes a point to catch him on his way out. She says, "Hey, look, my mum, she's just such a massive fan of yours. Would you mind if I got an autograph for her?" And he says, "No, that's fine." Sure, he actually engages her in conversation, asks her a bit about herself, asks her about her mum, writes a lovely message for her mum. And then the next day after she's mentioned to him in casual conversation where her mum works, he actually pops in to her mum's work and introduces himself and makes a point to say hi to her. As I say, it's one of those stories that you get on the internet where it's saying, "Hey, wow, what a nice celebrity for a person of note to take time out to meet with someone who is ordinary. Pretty gracious thing to do." And this is the first thing that we want to say this morning about Jesus coming into the world. As we look at John's explanation of what all this means, we want to see three things. And the first is that there is grace in Jesus. See, here in this passage, what we have is kind of the grace of that we see in this Colin Firth story only magnified a million times over. Because here is not just a celebrity, but here is God himself choosing to go out of his way to meet with us. Our passage speaks of someone who was from the beginning, in other words, God, who not only meets with us, but who actually becomes one of us so that he's like us, so that he can be seen and heard and touched, John says. It's astonishing. How gracious. And of course, that grace is the essence of what Jesus coming is all about. Because in Jesus, God is the one who works for our salvation. God comes to us. We don't climb to him through our good deeds. No, he comes and he lives the life that we should have lived, and he dies the death that we should have died, and he is risen again for our sakes. He's the one who comes and acts for our sakes. And so Jesus' coming is all about that. God at work to save. See, God's coming to us in Jesus is an act of grace. You know, it's easy for us to believe that somehow we find our way to God. Or maybe that we don't even need God, that we have the moral resources in ourselves to live the way that we ought to. But that's not the way of a flourishing life. Because if we try to climb to God or even just do life on our own, either we end up insecure and fearful because we realise that we never quite match up to what we're meant to be, or we end up proud and arrogant because we imagine that we have matched up. It's an ugly place to be. But the message of Jesus is different. Because in Jesus, we're humbled by the fact that God came to us. And we're reassured that he has done enough, even where we fail. See, the fact that Jesus comes for us, it makes all the difference. There is grace in Jesus. And more than this, we're told here, there is fellowship with God in Jesus. Okay, notice what is said in verse 3. As John's readers receive these things, he wants them to connect with those who saw Jesus, but also even to experience the very sense of fellowship with God that they knew. He's saying, you know what, you can have fellowship with God, even the same kind of fellowship as those who knew Jesus personally. Now that word fellowship, it means to have. It's a relationship of mutual sharing. It's implying here an intimate, personal relationship. And what's being said is that through faith in Jesus, we can enter into a deep, personal relationship, even with God himself. And, you know, as you look at the various faiths of the world, and even as you have conversations with people of those faiths, it's helpful to hear about this matter of how we relate to God. The Eastern faiths, for example, say that God is an impersonal force, and so though you can merge with that force, you can't have a personal relationship with it. The other faiths, on the other hand, do see God as personal, but still he is too distant, too removed to have a warm, loving relationship with. And so there actually is something different here in Christianity. And that difference, without a doubt, is seen most vividly in the incarnation, isn't it? See, in no other religion does God become flesh, does he? And when you think of it, what a difference God among us, as one of us, makes to our relationship with him. See, as you read the four biographies of Jesus, knowing that they are accounts of God incarnate, as you see Jesus' love and compassion and his wisdom and justice and courage, what people have found time and again is that they experience a sort of clarity in seeing what God is like, and a kind of connection with him that they might not otherwise have had. Because there is something so personal, something so knowable in relating to a God who has come to us in human form. Through Jesus, we can have fellowship with God himself. Jesus shows us God. And Jesus gives us access to God as we go to him to find cleansing from our sin. You know, I wonder, do you know what it is to have a personal relationship with God. You can have that in Jesus. Get to know Jesus in his word. We have free eyewitness biographies of Jesus that you can grab at the Connect desk up the back. Get to know Jesus in his word and go to God through him, asking Jesus that he would give you cleansing and reassurance and direction for life. There is fellowship with God in Jesus. And finally, there is joy in Jesus. John says in verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. John finds joy, as others find joy, in knowing fellowship with God through Jesus. You know, Jesus on several occasions spoke with his disciples about joy. He even said to them before he went to the cross this. He said, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you'll rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. He spoke of joy, and it wasn't the joy of a brief emotional high, but a kind of lasting joy, which he said couldn't be taken away. A kind of anchor that stabilizes you, even in the tides of life. And we can have that anchor in Jesus. Do you remember what the angel said to the shepherds in the passage in Luke's gospel, which Garnet read for us earlier? He said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. What joy there is in knowing that we have a saviour, someone who rescues us and leads us and brings us into relationship with God. As a Christian, knowing that I have that anchors me through all the twists and turns of life. One of the things that I really enjoy doing is kayaking. This is a photo of a time in the Noosa Everglades a couple of years ago. And something that I love about paddling freshwater rivers is just the foliage. The rivers are always lined with vibrant trees and vegetation. And of course, the reason for that is because, I mean, they're not dependent on the rainwater. They have this consistent water source. And that's what we have in Jesus. That knowledge of salvation, that forgiveness of sins and relationship with God, it kind of acts as a sort of consistent water source in our lives that we're able to go to. There is joy in Jesus. And so this Christmas, hopefully this is a happy time for you, a time of family and food and festivity. But I'm sure for some too, there is sadness, maybe loneliness, maybe remembering a loved one or a time that is past. Christmas is a hard time for many. But whichever the case, know that by trusting in Jesus, we can find an enduring joy. Not a momentary high, but a rescue and a fellowship with God, which becomes the water source of our lives. There is joy in Jesus. So I'd encourage you to take time over the summer period to invest in your relationship with God. Read one of the Gospels. Consider what you discover of God in Jesus. And go to him in adoration, in confession, in reliance on him for help. Because there really is joy in Jesus. I bring you good news, said the angel, that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your grace in him, in coming to us, in acting for our salvation. Thank you that in Jesus we really can know God himself and enter into a relationship with you. What an amazing thing this is. And so we give you joyful thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.